Okay, this week's parasha, Korach, begins with the machlokes of Korach, and Korach came with a taina. Kichal ha'eda kulam kadoshim, uvaseichem Hashem, umadua tisnasu al-kahal Hashem. That we're all holy, we all have connection with the Ribono Shel Olam, and why are you concentrating all of the power in your family? He was coming with democratic principles that it's not fair that all of the power should be concentrated by Moshe Rabbeinu and by his family, umadua tisnasu al-kahal Hashem. And he even, and his idea of the Avodah being transferred to the Bechirim was, if you think about it, a more democratic idea. It's not maybe really democratic, but it spreads it among all of the Shvatim rather than keeping it concentrated in one Shevet.
A little bit the argument that Miriam also had, right? She said, you're not better than...
Also, a little bit about his elitist. Yeah. Okay. Moshe, but the response to this was, Vayishma Moshe, Vayipal Panav. That he davened, he cried, he didn't say anything. He didn't answer back the taina of Madu Tisnas Al Kal Hashem. What about an answer?
That's where we get Tachnun from, by the way.
Okay.
The Yiplo
Panim. Okay. There's an interesting Ramban in the beginning of Korach where he says that the tainas that Korach had, you know, none of them are really fresh tainas that arise at this point in our history. They go back to the idea of the Avodah being done by the Kohanim, the Levim, and Moshe Rabbeinu being the leader, and Aaron being the Kohen Gadol, and all that is very old. Why is he waking up now? And the Ramban writes, it was purely politics. There's such a thing as approval ratings, popularity polls, right? We have presidents, sometimes they're riding high, and sometimes they're low. And Moshe Rabbeinu, for a long time, had been riding high. And when he was riding high, so then his opponents kept a low profile. Last week's parasha was a real debacle for Moshe Rabbeinu. Bnei Yisrael were told, all the Yidden that were here now were told, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. You're going to spend the next 40 years over here, and you're going to die out in the Midbar, and your children will go into Eretz Yisrael. Your children will go into Eretz Yisrael. One might even say, yeah, and if you believe that, because we're not, but even aside from that, you're all not going into Eretz Yisrael. And where was Moshe Rabbeinu? He was supposed to be the one that's always a Melis Yosha for us and gets all of the, you know, by the Egel, he was able to get the whole decree overturned over here. He wasn't able to come through. So the Ramban says that the reason why Korach was in this era now is because Moshe Rabbeinu no longer had this halo effect about him that nobody could start up with him because he was so popular. He wasn't so popular. He could be criticized. You could get traction with your criticism, low approval ratings. So that's why Korach woke up over here at this point in the story. So using this model of Korach coming from the perspective of politics, that the Ramban lays out this model. So his tainus of was exactly the Shitasai, that if it's politics, so, you know, there's there's a famous quote from Winston Churchill. He said something to the effect of that democracy is the worst form of government with the exception of every other one. Meaning that it's not really ideal. It's just that you know, you can't trust people to come up with alternatives because the alternatives are all too prone to corruption. And so we b'dieved, we're stuck with democracy. But if it's b'day shemayim, if there's really a shlichas from the Ribono Shel Olam, then these tainus of it should be more democratic, more fair, more equality, these tainus are irrelevant. They're really only tainus from a political standpoint. If you're looking at it as pure politics, like the Ramban said, that's really where Korach was coming from. So then his tainus were tainus. But if you're looking at it from the perspective of we're not making up the system. If we were trying to make up a system, we would listen to Korach. But we're not making up a system. We have a shlichus from the Ribono Shel Olam. So then his tainus are bottled. There wasn't anything to say back to him. It was really, they were talking past each other. That's why it's just Vayishma Moshe Vayipal Panav. Okay, now, last week's parasha, I want to talk about the mitzvah of tzitzis, the end of parasha Shlach, the mitzvah of tzitzis. We know that we make a bracha on the tzitzis in the morning before we put it on, a shirk of the shirt before we put on the talis, a shirk of the shirt before we put on the talis, and then we put on the talis. Now, this seems to be a very straightforward halacha. All, the general rule by all birchas and mitzvahs is that we make the bracha over lasiyasim before we do the mitzvah. So we make a bracha on the talis before we put it on. The truth is, though, that it's actually a very lamdusha halacha. This halacha that we make the bracha before we put on the talis and we make the bracha lasati patzitzis, when it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, it's in the Shulchan Aruch itself, it's written that it's a very lamdusha halacha. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Yotes references the Gemara in Menachas Daf Mem Beis, where we find a machlokes about how we view the mitzvah of tzitzis. Is it a chivas gavra or a chivas talis? That's the wording of the Gemara. It sounds like it's a like achreinisha lamdisha terminology, chivas, right? Like Rav Chaim. No, but this is the lashon of the Gemara: chivas gavra versus chivas talis. What this means is that there's a position in the Gemara: chivas talis. That would mean that if I have a talis, if I own a talis, I have to have tzitzis on it, regardless of whether I'm wearing it or not. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, klei kupsa, kupsa, the clothes that were sitting in a drawer, in a box, are also chayiv in tzitzis. If I have six talisos, they all have to have tzitzis, even if I, let's say, I have six talisos, I wear one each day of the week. Well, I have seven, whatever. I wear one each day of the week, but they all have to have tzitzis all 7 days of the week because it's a chayvas talis. If you own a talis, arba kanfis, it has to have tzitzis. The other opinion is chayvas gavra, that it's when you're wearing, it's not a talis that you own, but a talis that you're wearing. When you put on a talis, then it has to have tzitzis. So the Gemara says the first nafkamina between the two is the klei kupsa, whether the clothes that are in the drawer have to have tzitzis or don't have to have tzitzis. But another nafkamina is the guy with the bracha. When do you make the bracha? If the tzitzis was considered a chayvas talis, then the bracha would be when you attach the strings. Right? Ordinarily, we don't attach the strings while we're wearing it, right? Let's say ordinarily, maybe you buy it with the strings, but even if you don't, right, you have a talis, you take strings, you put them on, and let's say you do that on Monday afternoon, and then Tuesday morning, you're going to be putting on that talis. According to the Mandamar Chayvas talis, you would make the bracha Monday afternoon when you attach the strings. And of course, it wouldn't be lehesatif but tzitzis, the bracha would be al asiyas tzitzis, from making tzitzis.
The lashon of the chumash would be much better. It's really chayvas.
Vasulahem.
Vasulahem. No, it's one. It doesn't say love should sit.
True. Good point. So there is such an opinion in the Gemara, and according to that opinion, the bracha will be made at the time of the asiya, at the time that you attach the strings, and the lashon of the bracha will be al asiya sitzis. We don't make that bracha, we don't make it at that time, and we don't make it with that nusach, because we paskin that sits is chayvas gavra, not chayvas talas. So that's the way the halach is presented in the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Yutes. It says, since we paskin, we hold that the tzitzis is a chayvas gavra and not a chayvas talas, therefore you don't make a bracha at the time of the asiya tzitzis, only at the time of the putting it on, and the bracha is lehesatif tzitzis.
Why don't we make lehesatif on the tzitzis cotton, on the first tzitzis that you put on in the morning?
That's a good question.
Why do we wait till we daven to make a bracha?
Yeah, there's a big discussion about that in Shulchan Aruch, but I'm gonna leave that aside. So according to that other mandamra, that other tzad, that the bracha would be said when you make the tzitzis. So the pashtus of the Gemara is, you'd make the bracha once, then each morning when you put it on, the putting on is lema'av lema'irid, that doesn't change the chiyiv, it was chayiv whether you put it on or you didn't put it on, so you wouldn't make a bracha when you put it on. So you'd make a bracha when you made the tzitzis, alasiya tzitzis, and yep. The pashtus is, and that's it. So you'd make one bracha, you'd hold on to that talis for 10 years, you would never need another bracha. The Menchas Chinuch, Mr. Shin Pei Vav, he says that he doesn't think so. He says even though the mitzvah is not affected by the wearing it, putting it on, not putting it on, but the mitzvah is still affected by daytime and nighttime. Tzitzis is only a daytime mitzvah, not a nighttime mitzvah, because it says Re'isem, or you say Prat L'Layla, Prat L'Ksus L'Layla, or Prat L'Layla, Smach L'Ksus Rishonim, but assuming that it's not a nighttime mitzvah, just like we who hold Chayvas Gavra, hold that you don't wear tzitzis at night because it's not a nighttime mitzvah. If you held chayvas talis, it would be the exact same thing. It wouldn't be a mitzvah at night. So, true, the mitzvah is being done in the drawer, right, in the box, the mitzvah is being done, but the mitzvah is being turned on and off at 12-hour intervals. Every morning the mitzvah resumes, and every evening the mitzvah gets turned off. So Zok the Meches Chenoch, that means that I think you would make the bracha each morning. Each morning, not because you're wearing it, even if you're not putting it on.
Do a new maisa to it?
No, even you're not putting it on, it stays in the kupsa, but you would make a bracha each morning of al mitzvah tzitzis. You can't say lasatif tzitzis, you can't say al asiyah tzitzis either, because you're not making it now. You'd make a bracha of al mitzvah tzitzis each morning. And this is a very revolutionary idea that the Meches Chenoch is saying, because it means that we'd be making a bracha on a mitzvah without any maisa at all.
According to him, you do the same for tefillin.
Tefillin.
You don't put it on. You just make it there, and you make a bracha. Al mitzvah tefillin.
No, there's no. The mitzvah is only to put it on.
But we make two laniyah tefillin.
True. We make two brachas when we put on the tefillin.
According to what he's saying on tzitzis, you might think you'd have to do the same for tefillin.
You mean that we should make the bracha even if we're not putting it on?
Right.
No.
There's no bracha when it creates.
But we don't make a bracha. I don't understand. We don't make a bracha when it creates tzitzis.
No. Meches Chenoch is saying, according to the Man D'Amar Choy Vastalis, we don't pass it like that, but according to the Man D'Amar Choy Vastalis, where the Gemara says you would make a bracha at the time of the making, you'd say al asiyah tzitzis, the Meches Chenoch says that bracha would then get repeated, or a similar bracha would get repeated each morning. But regardless of whether you're wearing it or not, because that doesn't contribute to the mitzvah, but the mitzvah is to have it, so you'd make an al mitzvah tzitzis each morning. And what's so revolutionary...
What?
Because that's when the mitzvah resumes, because it's a daytime mitzvah, not a nighttime mitzvah. So what's so unusual about this is that we'd have a bracha on a mitzvah without any mice at all. Right? We know that we're familiar with a lot of brachas on mitzvah. We make a bracha on shofar, on lulav, on tefillin, and all of the brachas that we make on mitzvahs are on a mice mitzvah. Over here, there'd be a kiyum mitzvah without any mice mitzvah. The Meches Chenoch is claiming that there would be a bracha for that. This is really a very debatable claim, as we believe it, we'll come back to a bit later in the shir. But
after the Mishesh?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Meches Chenoch is in the 1800s.
Sefer HaChinuch, we don't know who wrote it, right?
Right, but that's from Sefer HaChinuch is from the 1200s. Okay. But the Meches Chenoch is from the 1800s.
Have you got room here?
Sefer HaChinuch is from the 1200s. Yeah, it's from, presumably from, it used to be attributed to the Ra'an. Now I think that's more or less discredited. But it was either a Talmud of the Ramban or a Talmud of the Rashba. So approximately 1200s in Spain. But what we're talking about, the Meches Chenoch is 1800s in Galicia, I think. So that's his chiddush, and again, his claim is that lemanda amar tzitzis choyvas talis, you'd make a bracha of al mitzvah tzitzis each morning. And what's so remarkable about it is that he seems to think that you can make a bracha on a mitzvah without any maisa at all, just a kiyum mitzvah without a maisa mitzvah. So we're going to return to that a little bit later in this year. Now, on this piece of Shulchan Aruch that we began with, where the Mechaber says that you make the bracha because we pass in Chovas Gavra, not Chovas Talis, so you make the bracha only when you're putting it on, not when you're making it. So the Magen Avraham says, what's strange over here is that there's two mitzvahs that sort of come as a pair. We often think of the two of them together, tzitzis and mezuzah. They're similar to each other in that both of them are a mitzvah that we do with one of our possessions, that when you have this, then you have to do that. When you have a house, you have to put on a mezuzah. When you have a beged, you have to put on tzitzis. And according to the formula that the Shulchan Aruch just told us, that if tzitzis would have been a chayvas talis, then you'd make the bracha when you're attaching the strings. But since it's a chayvas gavra, so therefore you only make the bracha when you're being misatif, when you're doing your maisa mitzvah. So by mezuzah, we should expect the same tulia, that if it's a mitzvah on any house that you own, then you should make the bracha when you attach it. But if it's only a mitzvah on a house that you're living in, then you should make the bracha when you move in, when you enter the house. Same tulia that we saw by tzitzis. And yet,
not every day.
Okay, right, because over there there's no hefsek at night. And yet, our bracha, what is the formula for the mitzvah of tzitzit? Is it similar to what we call the chayvas talis / chayvas bayis or chayvas gavra? It's chayvas gavra. The Gemara says mezuzah chayvas hadar. If a person owns a house but does not occupy the house, that house does not have to have a mezuzah. Only a house that's occupied has to have a mezuzah. Mezuzah chayvas hadar. So in the
so it's on the gavra.
Nusuch, right, it's on the gavra. In the nusuch of the tzitzit chakira, it's what we call a chayvas gavra, not a chayvas talis, not a chayvas hamana. So, right, not a chayvas hachefta. So if that's true, then the bracha should be on the mice of entering, of putting yourself in the house, like putting the tzitzit on you, not on the attachment. And yet, we all know, what is the bracha that we make on the mezuzah? Likbaya mezuzah, which is on the attachment. We make a bracha when we nail up the mezuzah onto the house, which is l'chair directly comparable to tying the strings onto the tzitzis. Right? Nailing the mezuzah onto the house is like tying the strings onto the tzitzis. The Gemara discusses a bracha of tying the strings onto the tzitzis, but the Gemara says, no, if we would have paskin chayvas mono chayvas talis, then we would make a bracha then. But since we paskin chayvas gavra, we don't make a bracha alasiyas tzitzis. So for the Magen Avraham, if we, by mezuzah also, we hold chayvas adar, similar to what we call chayvas gavra, so why then do we make the bracha at the time that we attach it?
I think there's a chilik, and that's when you attach the chayvas hador means when you're gonna live in, then there's a chiyuv for you on the gavra to put the mezuzah on the door.
Yeah,
but you don't make a bracha when the sofer writes the mezuzah. That would be right. Comparable to attaching the tzitzis, really.
Attaching it. Both of them have an actual. Both of them have an actual mice of attaching, right? The attaching the strings to the garment, attaching the mezuzah to the doorpost.
It's like making the strings. It's like writing the cloth.
That would be like the sefer.
Right, but I'm just thinking that even when you say chayvas adol, it's still there. Is when you live in the house, there's a chiyuv to have a mezuzah on the door. Kind of, you know, until you live in there, it's a warehouse. It's not something. Chiyuv is you don't have to put it on the warehouse. You don't have to put it on your barn. You have to put it on your house where you're going to live, which is your home. So, but the chiyuv is really the house has to have a mezuzah once it's your home. You could say that
when you're thinking of you're saying that that's more of a chiyuv on the chefza than the gabra,
right.
Because it's not as much of a maisa mitzvah.
Right, I think the dough just is mash is when
okay,
the chiyuv comes.
Okay,
in.
Okay, I think there are those that that suggest something along those lines. The Magen Avraham doesn't say like that. The Magen Avraham says that the difference that really the two are identical, and that which we find a difference in when we make the bracha and the nusach of the bracha is just because of a technicality. You need two things to be present. You need the attachment, right? That you need strings on the garment, and you also need the garment to be on you. You need the mezuzah on the doorpost, and you also need you to be in the house. Which one comes now? If you need both, so then the bracha comes on whichever one is second, because that's when the mitzvah gets completed. Which one comes second? So sort of coincidentally, or just for technical reasons, happens to differ between tzitzis and mezuzah. By tzitzis, ordinarily you don't attach the strings after you're wearing it. You put on the strings, and then you put on the beged. So the mitzvah comes through the putting it on. So we make the bracha l'sati p'tzitzis, and we put it on. By mezuzah, Zok the Magen Avraham, the mitzvah usually is done before you move in. You have a house, you're intending to live there. On the contrary, he says, by mezuzah, the mitzvah is usually, the attaching, the kviyas mezuzah is usually done when you're occupying the house. So al yaday, the nailing it up, that completes your mitzvah. And so then you make the bracha on the nailing it up, because that's the step that's coming second. You always make the bracha on whichever step is coming second. By tzitzis, usually that's the lehesatev, so you make the bracha at the time that you're mesatev. By the mezuzah, that's usually the kviyas. But Zok the Magen Avraham, it's just usual, what he calls stoma de milsa. But if it'll get reversed, in either case, and we'll speak out both of them, then the bracha will get adjusted. So for example, he says, let's say you're wearing a talis and the strings tear. So now what do you? You have to get new strings and attach them. So then you're attaching the strings after you're already wearing the talis. So at that point, avad, you'd make a bracha. But you don't want to make a bracha l'satif at tzitzis, you'd make a bracha alasiyas tzitzis. That bracha that the Gemara considered in the Manda Amar Chayvas Talis, We can make that bracha too if you're making the bracha when you're already wearing the talis and then you're attaching the strings.
Isn't that the true mitzvah also? Like in the Torah says, when you put on.
Very good. So, Belina, we're going to come to that. We're going to come to that in just a minute. And then he says, and likewise by mezuzah, so he was saying that the stam de milsa is that you put up the mezuzah when you're in the house. But let's say a person will put up the mezuzah before he moves into the house. He buys a house. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, he hires a contractor to do, you know, some additions, whatever. He wants to do some work on the house. So he's going to move in 6 months. And at some point during the 6 months, let's say 3 months in, he goes and he nails up, that's when he has time, he nails up mezuzahs. Zok the Magen Avraham, he's being kaveh of the mezuzah, but he won't make a bracha then, l'kpaya mezuzah, because he's not chayv in it yet, he's not a dar, he's not chayv as a dar. So when will he make the bracha? He'll make the bracha then when he moves in. And the Magen Avraham says, and what will be his nusach? The Magen Avraham makes up a new bracha. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvaysa v'sivanu ladur b'bayis sheyesh by mezuzah. And so the Magen Avraham says, if a person will put up the mezuzahs before he moves in, then his bracha will come when he moves in. And that's like the L'Hesatef Patzitzis. Mm-hmm. That bracha is the exact parallel to L'Hesatef Patzitzis. Because you're always doing, you always make the bracha on whichever step comes second. You need to attach the item, right, the strings to the garment or the mezuzah to the doorpost, and you need to be personally involved, either wearing the talis or living in the house. In the case of talis, usually you first attach the strings and then you put on the talis, so you make a bracha l'tzitzis of tzitzis. In the case of mezuzah, usually you first move in and then you attach the mezuzah, so you make a bracha of l'kpaya mezuzah. But if either one gets reversed, if you're already wearing the talis and then you're attaching strings, you'll make a bracha on that. And if you already have a mezuzah and then you move into the house, you'll make a bracha on that. So it'll be ladu rabbi and sheyeshu mezuzah.
I thought we were allowed to add brachas that weren't in brachas.
Okay, it's a very, yeah, this is I guess you can call this a controversial step in
after
this smoking up problem.
Would you make that bracha if you moved in an apartment that had mezuzah on it?
Would you make that bracha? So we're going to come to that discussion also, but after his. These are the two in Yon, and both of you are we're gonna. That's what the shiur is about. But Akapanim, this is the Seder HaDvarim of the Magen Avraham. He says that if you find any difference between mezuzah and tzitzis, it's really just a technicality, stam de milsa, the normal behavior. But in lumdus, they're identical, and the rule is that the bracha comes in whichever step goes second.
There's one other difference. That tzitzis is only for men. Lador is for women.
True.
The same
true.
Thing.
True.
Maka also, same thing as mezuzah?
I don't think, you know, I'm not sure if that also is a chayves hadar or if that's even before you move in. I'm not sure. Now, so I want to... This Magen Avraham taught us something very, very interesting. Both, there's something really mechudishtik, both Lagabe, what he said about tzitzis and what he said about mezuzah. What he said about tzitzis, so you, Ma'ira, he said by tzitzis, the stam of the milsa is that you always attach the strings and then you put it on. So the truth is that this is exactly the opposite of the way the mitzvah is given. According to this, is a well-known Tosfos in Yevamos Daf Tzadi. Let me start with that Gemara over there, speak out the Tosfos, and then we'll bring it back to the Magen Avraham. The Yevamos Daf Tzadi is in the sugya of Yesh Koyach B'yad Chachamim Lakor Dover Min HaTayra. Do the Chacham have the Koyach? We know the Chacham often they make their Rabbanons. How far does that Koyach go? Are they able to be Iker Dover Min HaTayra? And the discussion over there started because it was talking about when somebody is Toireim, he gives Truma inappropriately. He gives Truma, let's say, Min HaRoa Al HaYafa. You're not supposed to do that. He's supposed to give from nice stuff. He gives him Min HaRoa Al HaYafa. So you're not allowed to do that. But according to one opinion, you're not allowed. But whatever you did is done. There's an opinion in the Gemara that no, the Chachamim cancel what he did. He took a rotten date and he said, this should be Truma for all my dates. The Chacham said, no, you can't make that Truma because right, we don't want you to give the rotten stuff. So they canceled what he did, which means that date, which he declared to be Truma, and in HaTorah, it was Chal, the Chacham said, it shouldn't be Truma anymore. It shouldn't be Truma. So that means that, what, now is Zara's allowed to go and eat it? The Chacham are going to be matir something that was, according to the Torah, is already usr. So the Gemara, it starts on Peites and off, it's like a daf and a half. It's a long discussion in the Gemara about this question of Yech Korech B'Yachacham Lako Davim and Atera. And the Gemara ends up on the top of Tzadi Amid Beis. The Gemara says that, in fact, that case that we started with the Truma, really the Maskana, the Chum would not have the Koyach to do that. But where they do have the Koyach, the Gemara says the basic rule is that there's a difference between a Shevi Altase and a Kumvase. The Chum have the right to be Oikadavim and Atera, but Shevi Altase, they just don't have the right to be Oikadavim and Atera, but Kumvase. Of course, that's not like that man da'amar by Chuma, but that's the Maskana Sagamara, that they have the right by Shevi Altase, but not by Kumvase. And then the Gemara says, there's lots of examples of where the Chacham were Oikudavim and Atera by Shevi Altase. So the most well-known example for us, for sure, is Shofar. Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, the Chacham said that we're afraid you're going to come to carry it, so don't blow the Shofar. Even though that's a violation of a day, right? So the Torah said, if it's Rosh Hashanah, you have to blow the Shofar, no matter what day of the week it is. The Chacham said, but if it falls out on Shabbos, you shouldn't blow it. That's an Akira Stavim and Atera. But the Gemara says, that's okay, because it's an Akira Stavim and Atera, but Shevi Altase, and that's allowed. The Gemara, on its list of four or five examples, one of the examples in the Gemara is Klayim B'Tzitzis. That if you're wearing a linen garment, what the Gemara over there is saying is, you don't have to put on tzitzis. The Chacham told you not to put on tzitzis. The Torah said you should put on tzitzis. Chacham said don't put on tzitzis. Why? Because really you're allowed, because the Seder Chalaisa said, right, that tzitzis is supposed to include wool and strings. Tchelis is always wool, so it's supposed to include wool and strings. And even if you have a linen garment, the Torah said that you're allowed. But the Chachamim were afraid. Either it's not so clear. There's some makayris. It sounds like they were afraid that you might mix up with the ksus laila. In other makayris, I think it's because they were afraid that you would mix it up and wear the shatan is, even when you're not doing the mitzvah of tzitzis. Akopan and the Chacham made a gezeira, and they said, we don't want you to do the shatness tzitzis. So if you're wearing a linen garment, don't put on the tzitzis. The tzitzis strings are wool, again, because the tcheles, at least, is always wool. Don't put the tcheles on a linen garment. That's an akiras davim and atera. And the Gemara says, that's another example of yesh karech v'yacham lakar davim and atera b'shevi altasa. Correct Tosfos. Shevi Altase. What's the Shevi Altase? I have this talis, which doesn't have tzitzis, and I pick it up, and I put it on. And with that maisa, I'm violating what the Torah said, because now I'm wearing a tzitzis, I'm wearing a garment without strings. So how is that a Shevi Altase? I'm Shefer, I just don't blow. But here, the Chacham are allowing me to put on this beged without tzitzis. So isn't that a kumvase? The Gemara is citing it as an example of Shevi Altase. But I don't understand how this is a Shevi Altase. So Tosfos answers, because the mitzvah of tzitzis only comes after you're wearing the garment. Mm-hmm. You put on a garment, and then the Torah says you're supposed to put on tzitzis. So if the Chacham told me not to put on tzitzis, they weren't giving me permission to put on the garment. Putting on the garment is a davar shel rishus. And then, subsequently, they were telling me, but you don't have to put on tzitzis strings. So that's the Shevi Altase. So Tosfos explains the reason why the Gemara calls it a Shevi Altase is because the mitzvah only comes after you're wearing the garment. That's the Tosfos in Yevamos Daf Tzadi. Now, that l'chayr is the exact opposite of this Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is saying that the mitzvah is that the tzitzis strings are always put on before you put on the garment. And here Tosfos is saying that the mitzvah is dafka to put it on if you put on the garment. Now, the truth is that the Shagas Aryeh has a lot of kashas on that Tosfos. Shagas Aryeh says, really, the mitzvah is just to put it on if the mitzvah is to put it on after you put on the garment, so then you shouldn't be allowed to make the bracha before you put on the garment, because that will be called oiver la'iver. Right, bracha is always supposed to be over less yasam, but not over la over, not two steps away. That's how you don't make the bracha on your tefillin while they're still in the tefillin bag. So if the mitzvah is dafka after you put on the garment, so you should put on the garment and then make the bracha. But we make the bracha before we put on the garment. So the Shagas Aryeh disagrees with what it says in Tosfos. The Shagas Aryeh says that avada, the mitzvah is immediate, is, you know, you can't put on a garment without tzitzis strings, but it's still called the Shevi Altase, because since the part that you're doing wrong is not that you're putting on the garment, the Torah allows the garment is davar shel rishus, just the Torah says that this garment has to be accompanied by strings, and you're putting it on without strings. So even though you're being over with a maisa, it's still called a shevi al tasa, because what's wrong with this maisa is not what you're doing, but what you're leaving out. That's shagas ayis pshat alam de shavark. Why is it called a shevi al tasa? You're doing a maisa, but what's wrong with the maisa is what you're leaving out. That makes it a shevi al tasa. But Tosfos said no. Tosfos said the Gemara calls it a shevi al tasa because the mitzvah is really only after you put on the garment. And this Magen Avraham is really the opposite of that. This Magen Avraham, now, I don't mean it's a stira mamish, because the Magen Avraham is just telling us stam de milsa. Tosfos is telling us in lamdas, really the chalos hachiyuv comes afterwards. Tosfos might agree that practically speaking, nobody does that, because that would be a little too risky. You put on the garment and then afterwards you get a chiyuv. But it's hard to do it quickly right away afterwards. It's also hard to tie it on every morning. It's going to take too much time. So as a practical matter...
But it is the shevel taisa according to the shitta, that it's not the gavre, it's on the cloth, right? Because I'm just not putting it on.
According to the shitta that it's on, that's a chayvas talis, so then the whole klayim issue doesn't start, because there's no Mr. Klayim on what's sitting in the drawer. The Isser Klayim is Zichar not on Klay Kupsa.
Al Sheva Taisa, though, no? Not because of...
You're allowed to own...
No, that. Right. You're allowed to have
right.
Shotness in your closet.
Right.
So yeah, I'm not asking a stira, really, because Taisa is telling us the lumness of it, and the Magen Avraham is talking about practically some of the muscle when we do it. But I'm just pointing out that here this Magen Avraham is telling us that the strings are always attached before you put it on. It's ironic, because at least according to Tosfos, the chi of tzitzis is really only chal dafka after you put it on. You put it on, that's mechayev you to put on the strings. So that's the first ta'ara. The Magen Avraham is something very, very surprising on the topic of tzitzis. Now, this Magen Avraham also had something very surprising, and this is what you admire, on the topic of mezuzah. He says that if you put up the mezuzah in advance, you'll make a bracha, and then you move in, meaning you put it up before you move in, and then you move in, you'll make a bracha when you move in, and the bracha will, he makes up a new nusach, l'od rabayis yeshvei mezuzah. So there's a well-known Shuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Simon Tess in Shuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger, where he extends this to some other scenarios, much more common scenarios. He says, the case that you mentioned, that if somebody buys a house or rents a house that already has a mezuzah. So then he doesn't have to put up a mezuzah, the mezuzah is already there. So Dr. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he'll make a bracha when he moves in. He's not going to be keveya anything. He's not lekveya mezuzah, but when he moves in, he has to make a bracha. So what's his bracha going to be? Rabbi Akiva Eiger doesn't speak it out, but it seems to be implied that Rabbi Akiva Eiger means this newfangled bracha that the Magen Avraham made up. Of Lada Babai Sheshma Mezuzah. You'll make that if you move into a house that already has a mezuzah. Then Rabbi Akiva Eiger takes it even further. Once we have this such a bracha, he says, not only if you're moving into a new house, let's say a person has a house and he leaves his house. He goes away on vacation. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, and you know, I don't know how long this vacation has to be. Maybe, even if he, maybe it's a not exactly a vacation, he's going to work, meaning, does it mean he leaves his house for a few days? Or maybe even he leaves his house for a few hours? Akiva Eiger has this really, really daring suggestion that if a person leaves his house and then he comes back, so during the time that he was out, he wasn't dar in the house. Mezuzah is a chayvas hadar, so he wasn't chayv in mezuzah. If he wanted, theoretically, he could take his mezuzahs with him when he goes to work each day, or at least he throws in that maybe even when he goes to work each day, but let's say for argument's sake, when he goes away for on a vacation, he goes away for the summer. So he could take his mezuzahs with him, because it's a chayvas hadar. If you're not living in the house, then they don't have to have a mezuzah. Now, he's not taking his mezuzahs with him. Okay, fine, he's leaving it there. But he's not getting a mitzvah for it, which means that when he comes back, he's like moving into a house, and now he's starting to get the mitzvah. Zok Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you'll make a bracha on that. An incredible chiddush that Rabbi Akiva Eiger had suggested, that every time a person leaves his house, at least for an extended amount of time, not so he himself is mesupik how long the amount of time has to be, but certainly if for an extended amount of time, if a person leaves his house and then comes back, he'll make a bracha before walking in the door on the mitzvah of mezuzah. Now, this is in a tshuva, Tshuva Siman Tes, And then the tshuva is signed, Akiva, and he sent it off. Then there's something else written, which I assume means that his shaylas and tshuvas are all real tshuvas, meaning they were sent in the mail to people that asked him shaylas, but he would send out the tshuva and he would keep a copy for himself because he was intending, I think, to have it published one day. He never published it in his lifetime, but he left instructions with his children to publish his tshuvas. So he kept a copy of his tshuvas for the purpose of publishing them. And then when we find in a number of tshuvas, there are things written that are added after the signature, I assume that means that he went back to it later, after it was sent out, he went back to it. Over here, after the signature, it's written, this is in Simon Tess in the Shalas HaTshuvas, it says that he later saw that in the Birka Yosef, he says not like this. In the Birka Yosef, he says, talking about the first scenario, where a person moves into a house that already has a mezuzah, the Birka Yosef says that you don't make a bracha. And Rabbi Kivager says, Uladinu tzarech iyon, meaning that having seen this in the Birka Yosef gave him pause, and even though he paskined, and again, this is why I'm emphasizing the Seder Hadvarim, he paskined this way. He sent this letter to someone, and he told him that he should make a bracha for coming into his house. But he later reconsidered, and his final line was Uladina Tzarech Ion, which I guess would mean that we call it a Savik Bracha, Savik Bracha Slahakal. So Lemaisa, we don't make a bracha on this. So what's the Safik about over here? So first, as an aside, just something that I found fascinating over here, that he says that afterwards I saw the Sefer Birka Yosef. Who's the Birka Yosef? The Birka Yosef is the Chida. The Chida was certainly one of the, Gedalei Yisrael, but I found it very interesting that Rabbi Kivager was so misspoiled, like he backed down from a psak that he had given, because he found that the Chida argued. Rabbi Kivager was, the Chida was one dar earlier. Rabbi Kivager B'Yamav was the Gadol Hadar. The Chida, was like sort of a man of many skills. He was a Pesach, for sure. He was a first, world-class Talmud Chacham, no doubt about it. He was also a Mekubal, right? He was also a scholar in the sense of he was, into bibliographic studies. He would travel in his travels. He did a lot of traveling, and he would travel around and visit libraries in different places and keep track of what manuscripts he had in different places. And he wrote bibliographic svarim. He also wrote history svarim. He has the Shema Gedolim, so he was into history. He was. He was also, by the way, he was also Meshulach. He was a fundraiser for the Kehillah in Yerushalayim. He was what they called the Shlucha D'Rabbanan. The Yerushalayim would always send out one Sephardi and one Ashkenazi to the communities of the world to raise money for them, for the Yidden living in Eretz Yisrael. And he was a Shlucha D'Rabbanan. Well-known story, he came to raise money in London. There were a lot of rich Jews in London, and he made some connections, and he thought that he was going to have a very successful trip. He got to London right around the time of the American Revolution, and they all lost their money. And he had a disastrous fundraising trip because of the American Revolution. We celebrate July 4th, but it didn't go over so well in London. anyway, so the Chida, so to me it was a little bit surprising that Rabbi Kivager was so impressed with that the Chida paskin this way. But that's what happened. Rabbi Kivager had paskin that when you come into a house with a mezuzah, you make a bracha. And then he says, but I saw the Chida afterwards, after he paskin this way, and he sent out the letter, then later on in life, he came across that the Chida said not to. He said, oh, if the Chida said not to, so ledina tzarech ion, which seems to leave us with a suffix bracha is lahakel.
A person selling a house, is he allowed to take over the mezuzah?
So I think that depends. No, he's supposed to leave
that.
Right.
So what does that tell you?
Unless a goy is buying.
Right. If a goy is buying, it's a blessing. Yeah, you're right. That should be related to this discussion also. Yeah. But okay.
That shows you that.
Now, what's the nekud over here? This suffix that Rabbi Kivager had, Again, I'm saying that he backed down a little bit because of the chida, but there has to be a lumdus to it also. What's the nekudas hamachlekes over here? So this is the Minchas Chinuch that we talked about at the beginning of the shir. The Minchas Chinuch who said that in the man da'amar tzitzis choyvas talis, you'd make a bracha each morning. And we said, make a bracha each morning? Who ever heard of such a thing? A bracha on a mitzvah without any maisa at all, just a kiyum without a maisa? That's, right, that we said was so mechudishtik and that Minchas Chinuch. L'chayre, that's very close to this diyun between Rabbi Feger and the Chida. The Chida who says that if you're not putting up the mezuzah, you don't make a bracha, but pashas, that's the pshat is because there's no maisa. You need to have a maisa mitzvah in order to make a bracha. If you're just getting a kiyum mitzvah without a maisa mitzvah, there's no bracha on that. Rabbi Feger, at least in his original thought, he seemed to think that you can make a bracha on a kiyum mitzvah even without a maisa mitzvah. Now there's a Gemara Menachas Daf Lamed Vav where it says, it gives the following case, which L'chaira is a perfect case for this Chakira, and this is a Gemara. But it's not so clear what we're supposed to take away from it. Listen to the case in the Gemara. If a person puts on tefillin, koidim sheheir hayoim, it's still dark outside, and he puts on tefillin. No mitzvah. Tefillin is a daytime mitzvah, not a nighttime mitzvah. So clearly he's not making a bracha, and he's not getting a mitzvah for it. And then the sun rises, and now it's light.
And he's wearing them.
At this point, he's not doing a maisa. He's just wearing them. So does he make a bracha? Does he not make a bracha? That would l'chaira be a great test case for this shayla. The lashon of the Gemara is, he's memashmesh umavarech alav. Yeah, he should touch the... So now, the shayla is... So the Gemara says umavarech alav. So at first glance, maybe that means, oh, this is a makar that you can make a bracha on a kiyum ha-mitzvah without a maisa mitzvah. But on the other hand, the Gemara said, you memashmesh bai. Maybe that's because, and the mashmos of Rashi is taka mashma this way. The reason why it says to be mashmish boy, it's not stam because, you know, a lot of times we're mashmish and not film, mishum hetzachadas, but the Gemara over here is saying no more bedafka. You have to be mashmish boy because otherwise there's no maisa. And without a maisa, you can never make a bracha. So, l'chere, that Gemara, if we take the mashmish very seriously, it's a makar to the chidah's position that you do need a maisa in order to make a bracha. And on the other hand, going back through a lot of hands here, but on the other hand, Rabbi Akiva Eiger might very well say that while from that Gemara, again, at least like Alpi Rashi, it says Mamash Mishpoi, that so it should be a Maisa, is a raya against the Minchas Chinuch's suggestion of making a bracha on your clay kupsa each morning without any Maisa at all. But in Rabbi Akiva Eiger's case, it's not quite as extreme. Rabbi Akiva Eiger's case, maybe you could say, really is considered a Maisa. The maisa is he's walking into the house. It's not the maisa of banging up the mezuzah, but he's not being passive. The mitzvah's mezuzah begins to apply to him by him walking into the house. So his walking into the house where there is a mezuzah is the act through which he begins to fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah. So it's not the most direct mitzvah of mezuzah, which is maybe why the chidah was objecting, but it's not entirely without a maisa, like somebody who was wearing tefillin from before dawn and then without touching them just comes into daytime, or like somebody who has tzitzis on his clay kupsa, l'man da'amar, tzitzis choyvas talis, and then a new day comes, and right to the suggestion that he should make a bracha on those cases. Rabbi Kivager's case is really much less extreme than those. So them, I think that's really why he says Uldina Tzarchin. That's why he's masupik about it. He also knows that you need a bracha, you need a maisa without a bracha, in order to make a bracha. There's no bracha on a mitzvah without any maisa at all. But this case of moving into the house, maybe we could consider that a maisa. The Chidah held not, Rabbi Kivager held, he first thought yes.
It has been moving in, not just walking in at that point.
No, Rabbi Kivager had it sad that if you left for some period of time, then the mitzvah went off. And then when you come back, so then again, the walking in could be considered a maisa mitzvah.
But living in a house means going in and out of the house. That means living in a house. So take me by sukkah, yeah. Right?
Sukkah. Yeah, so I think that's where Rabbi Kivager seems a little, he mentions, talks about going away for a few days, and then he talks about going away for a few hours. So the way I interpret it is that he's mesupik what degree of departure you need. Because you're right, a small little departure, for sure is not considered an interruption of his dira. But if it's if it becomes substantial enough, let's say if you take the case of somebody who goes away on vacation, so that's the case where Rabbi Kiviger for sure holds that his mitzvah went off and be'ezem yishu b'chayev a new bracha, but he ends up ladin etzarchin, he's mesupik because he's not sure whether that's considered a real ma'isa.
We make some brachas without a ma'isa.
Yeah, like
when
what?
When you see lightning, when you hear thunder.
True, but those aren't brachas on mitzvahs.
What is it?
Bracha on thunder, bracha on lightning. I don't know. No.
No.
Bracha on mitzvah doesn't. Birchas on mitzvah doesn't mean that it's a mitzvah to make the bracha. Birchas on mitzvah means I'm making a bracha on a mitzvah. That over there, I'm making a bracha on the lightning. Lightning is not a mitzvah.
It's when you create lightning. We'll talk about.
Okay. The last I want to bring. Yeah, that's also not a birchas mitzvah. Usually a birchas mitzvah we mean asher kedushanu b'mesayis v'tzivanu. So the last nekud I wanted to talk about is that this whole Magen Avraham, we've been focusing on this Magen Avraham that's making sort of an equivalency between mezuzah and tzitzis. That in lumdus they're very similar, and what's true for one you should expect to be true for the other. And then he asked the kasha that we found a discrepancy, and then he tried to resolve that it shouldn't be such a discrepancy. There's this equivalency that we're making between mezuzah and tzitzis leads in one situation to what would seem to be a very bizarre outcome. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Lam and Gimel, that talks about Hidra Mitzvah. We learn from Zakei Levan Deyu, it's Noah Lefan of a Mitzvah, that there's an union of Hidra Mitzvah, and the Gemara gives a few examples. Lulav Noah, Sukkah Noah, Tzitzis Noah, Sefer Torah Noah. These are the examples that the mitzvah that the Gemara gives that you should use. You should use beautiful things for your mitzvah. I mentioned three or four examples, but one of them you should note is tzitzis. It says tzitzis noah. Now, there's another sugya about hidur mitzvah. This is in Bava Kama Daf Tes. And the Gemara over there was talking about the shear of hidur mitzvah. We're not going to go into that, but Rashi wants to remind us of what is hidur mitzvah. So he cites this Gemara. He says, yeah, in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel, there's a price we learn from Zakei Leman Veyu. It's not all the fun of a mitzvah. And Rashi also quotes a few examples. But what's interesting is that the Rashi in Bava Kama misquotes or is paraphrasing, doesn't quote exactly the same examples that the Braisa had mentioned. The Braisa said, Lulav Noah, Tzitzis Noah, Sefer Torah Noah. Rashi, I think he might mention Lulav, and then he says, Tzitzis Noah, and then he adds one that's not over there in Shabbos. He says, Talis Noah. Lulav Noah, Tzitzis Noah, Talis Noah. Now, Talis Noah is a fascinating suggestion, that there's an inyan of Hidur Mitzvah on the Talis. Is Talis a Chefs Shal Mitzvah? Talis is that which is mechayiv me in a mitzvah. When I'm wearing a talis of Abraham Feis, I have to put on strings. To say that there's an inyan of hiddur, which the truth is, it shouldn't come as such a surprise. I mean, just from our daily life, we're familiar with hiddur mitzvah and a talis. Right? You go into shul and you see a lot of people have silver on their talis. That would seem to be because of the idea of hiddur, right? You'd think it's because of hiddur mitzvah, right? We have silver candlesticks and a silver kiddush cup, and we have a silver atara on the talis. So people think of that as an inyan of hidur mitzvah, and it has a makor in this Rashi in Bava Kama. But if you think about it, it's a very mechudesh deka inyan of hidur mitzvah. It's because the talis is not the chefs shel mitzvah. When you're wearing a talis, you have to put on tzitzis strings. The strings are the chefs shel mitzvah. Now, if we take this Rashi at face value, that, yeah, because the talis is mechayev you in the tzitzis, so that makes it, let's say, indirectly into a chefs shel mitzvah, and there's a mitzvah of hidur, there's an inyan of hidur, even on such a thing. Well, if we then continue our parallel between tzitzis and mezuzah, mm-hmm. So you know where this is heading. If talis has an inyan of hidur mitzvah because of tzitzis, then what's going to have an inyan of hidur mitzvah because of mezuzah? A bias. That's going to mean that it's a mitzvah to have a beautiful house, to make something really beautiful and, you know, gorgeous and ostentatious and something that everybody can say, ooh and ah, the whole house. So, it's just hidur mitzvah because I have to put up a mezuzah. And the bias is that which is mechayev and mezuzah. Now, this seems l'chayra to be a preposterous suggestion that there's an inyan of bias not... I'm not saying it's preposterous that there's an Indian of bias, Noah, but that it should be called a Hidur Mitzvah because of mezuzah, that seems like a bridge too far.
Hidur Mitzvah should be on the mezuzah itself.
Oh, so that, I agree. And then by the same token, you'd say Hidur Mitzvah on the tzitzis itself. Right. But Rashi and Bava Kama says tzitzis Noah and talis Noah. Okay. So if you say talis Noah, then l'chayr, why not also bias Noah?
Later people so, would need a head there to have a nice house.
Okay.
Tzitzis and talis, like what we call tzitzis and talis.
Yeah.
So I think what you're saying might be right. What I wanted to suggest is, you know, Rashi mentions talis Noah, and like I said, it's a little bit of a misquote because the Gemara in Shabbos didn't say that, and maybe the reason is because of something that actually changed from the times of the Gemara to the times of Rashi. You know, in the times of the Gemara, talis was not a Judaic item. That was just their clothes. They wore things with Arba Kanfais. And they put on strings to do the mitzvah. But they didn't put on the garment with a mitzvah in mind. That was just the standard garment. We know this, by the way, because the Gemara in Menachos on Daf Mem Beis tells a story about Rav Katina, who was criticized for trying to avoid the mitzvah of tzitzis. You know, you don't really have to do the mitzvah of tzitzis, right? It's only a mitzvah that, you know, when you're wearing a beged, that's chayev, you have to put on strings. If you're not wearing such a beged, so you don't have to put on the strings. It's just, you know, but we like to be mahadir after mitzvahs, so we try to wear such a garment all the time. The Gemara says that Rav Katina was criticized for trying to avoid the mitzvah. How did he try to avoid the mitzvah? So, what would come to mind easily for you and I is just avoid a four-cornered garment. Wear a round tunic rather than a square tunic. But the Gemara says that Rav Katina avoided the mitzvah by wearing garments that weren't made of wool and linen. There's a machlekes in the Gemara, which materials are chayav in tzitzis, and according to at least one man to Amr, it's dafka wool and linen. And Rav Katina didn't wear wool and linen, and the malach came to him and said, why are you trying to avoid the mitzvah of tzitzis? So you see that in the times of the Gemara, the way to avoid the mitzvah of tzitzis was by switching materials, not just by wearing shirts and pants. Because they didn't have shirts and pants. They wore square tunics. That's what they wore. In the times of Rashi, I don't know if they were quite up to shirts and pants yet. I think they still wore tunics and maybe with breeches. But I don't really know. But maybe in the times of Rashi, the style was already round tunics rather than square tunics. And they weren't putting tzitzis onto their regular garments. It was more like we have nowadays. You bought a talis for the mitzvah of tzitzis. You bought it in a Judaica store. Again, in quotes, they didn't have that in the times of Rashi either. But it was a Judaic item. So maybe that's why it was considered a chefs shal mitzvah. In Lumdus, nothing really changed. But in Mitzias, something changed. That now people were only wearing a talis because it was a means for the mitzvah of tzitzis. And that's why there would be an Indian of Hidur Mitzvah. Now, if that's true, then the bias, of course, houses, I think nowadays still have the same role that they did for all time. People use houses not just as a way to put up a mezuzah. People use houses because you have to live in one. So if Rashi only mentions Talis Noah because in his times it had already evolved into a Judaic item, then we would understand why it's not comparable to the bias.
We're not doing it completely either. The Torah tells you need talis.
That's true.
And most people don't.
That's
have
true.
Talis.
That's true. We're not doing the
so
complete.
So we're not doing a complete.
Right. Answer. That's a good point.
And yet we're still making the bracha.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's. I think we might have once had a share on this topic.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
You're sharing.
Yeah. Just one last nekusot me'inyan le'inyan ba'isa inyan, which I was just talking about a Torah. Right, Rashi in Bava Kama says Talis Noah. So, right, many people have a minhag to wear an atara, which we think of as being because of Hidur Mitzvah. The emphasis is that there's an entirely different reason for the atara. The Mishnah Berurah brings down. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't mention silver. That's right. So it should be nicker. Which side is the top and which side is the bottom? Because it's based on Yushalmi. The Yushalmi is talking about the malacha of Kaisev. You know, the 39 malachas are all derived from the Mishkan. Where do they do Kaisev in the Mishkan? So in the Talmud Bavli, it says they would write
Adana.
A siman on the krushim to know which one went with which. But what's not clear in the Bavli is why was it so important for them to know which one went with which? I mean, they were all more or less the same.
Interchangeable.
So, right, they're interchangeable, except maybe for the two corners. But the other 46 of them were exactly the same. Why did they have to keep track of which was which? So in the Yushalmi, it adds more details. Because the one that was zeicha to be betzafain has to stay betzafain because mal makodesh ve'im eridin. different positions in the Mishkan had greater chashivas than others. And if it was in a position of greater chashivas, I'm not sure why Tzafon was greater chashivas, maybe because Kajikashim are the Shechitasim Bat Tzafon. But Al Kapanim, you had certain positions in the Mishkan which had a greater chashivas, and if a Keresh, let's say, was in the north one day, and then they took apart the Mishkan and they put it back the next day, and it was in the south, that would be Meridim B'Kodesh. Malam Kodesh Meridim, so they had to write on the Kreshim where they went. So the Mishabur brings down from Achrayim that by the same token, you put on a talis, and one part is on your head, obviously the head is more chashiv than the feet. If the next day you put it on the other way around, it's a rectangle, you put the other side on top, so that's a Meridim B'Kodesh. So therefore, you put something to make a siman, which side is the top. That's the real origin for the meaning of an Atara. Now, obviously, those that have it out of silver, that's already based on the Rashi and Baba Kama, that's taking it further because of the Inyan of Hidra Mitzvah. But the Makar and Halacha for the Atara is not because of Hidra Mitzvah. Now, what's interesting is that the Aruch HaShulchan, the Aruch HaShulchan was a real Litvish Sefer. And in Litva, nobody used silver. I mean, even at Hayoyim, if you go into yeshivas, you'll see that the Litvaks don't use silver atarites. The Aruch HaShulchan says that it's not just Stam because, you know, we Litvaks are, you know, Pasha to Yidden and we don't like to... Yeah, right, okay. The Aruch HaShulchan says it's because it's not allowed. You know, there's a halach in Hilchos Tzitzis, this is in Simin Yud, I think, that a turban doesn't get tzitzis. Even if it's very big... You know, a turban gets wrapped around many times. It can be a very big garment. And even if it hangs down and it actually covers Reiv HaGuf, let's say the two ends hang down, but since it's primarily for the head, so a beggar that's made for the head, that's be'ikr, a head garment, doesn't get tzitzis. Zokta Aruch HaShulchan, I've seen some yidin that they put at the top of the talis, the part that goes on the head, they put a piece of silver. With silver on the top, it makes it into primarily a head garment. And then it's part of from tzitzis. So he says, Avad, you shouldn't put silver onto your talis. That's the Aruch HaShulchan, and that's the meaning by Litvak. There's a tshuva in the Igros Moshe. Ephraim Greenblatt wrote to Rav Moshe. He says, I saw this in the Aruch HaShulchan. My minig is, I have a silver atara. Is there anything wrong? So Rav Moshe says, no, I don't think you should be chashvi. Rav Moshe says back, my minig is not too. My minig is, I don't have a silver atara. But if that's your meaning, you don't have to worry about this svar of the Aruch HaShulchan. It makes it into a head garment. It's not a head garment. It's just, you know, a way of showing which side is on top. But it's halacha l'maisa, you know, that's what the Olam is saying. But I'll just mention something interesting. You know, by the Rebbes, they have silver not just on the top, but also in the middle. Now that takes away the Aruch HaShulchan's taina. The Aruch HaShulchan was just waiting to see a Rebbe shatalis. That's what he needed.